In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And this week we watched the Young Bucks fight Eddie and Penta again. We're kind of starting at the end of Dynamite. I would like somebody to remind me why that happened, because I don't remember.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's like a reason, but I will say it's like the opposite of like the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle, where I'm like, do they need a reason? I'll just watch the four of them go at it for the rest of my life. I don't give a shit.
You'll watch them go this, at it.
This was for the tag titles, right?
Yeah, I think what they won last week was the option to challenge, so this was the challenge.
Okay, well, that is the reason. You just gave me the reason that I asked.
Okay, well, the thing I said before was more relevant to my opinion.
Okay.
It's pretty funny that you have to like win the right to challenge and then challenge by like fighting the same dudes, yeah. Right.
Like you have to double win to win.
Yeah. It's like tennis. You've got to win by two.
Like even tennis.
Even if the match lasts for hours, you got to win by two.
Exactly. And love means nothing.
That's so right. And love means nothing in wrestling.
In wrestling, as in tennis, love means nothing and you got to win by two. So we're finding this could be something we spin out over the course of many episodes, is similarities between tennis and wrestling.
Many people have compared those two sports, you know. The royal box at wrestling is also very a big thing, you know.
Kate and William go
to many pro wrestling matches.
I was going to say I wish he would, but I don't really want to see Prince William at a wrestling match, but I do wish there was a royal box that we could be in, which I think is how the royal box works.
Yeah, they just put the most important people there, I think.
Yeah, or like the ones who want it the most.
The ones who want it the most. Yeah, that's how life works, really. If you want it the most, you get it.
I've heard that.
That's what reality TV has taught me.
Perfect. Well,
there was
okay,
one time
so
on, yeah.
Oh, no, tell us.
Oh, no, it was not important. There was just this one time on America's Next Top Model where they had identical twins on it, and one twin really wanted to be a model, and the other one just came along for the ride, like, didn't want to be a model, but, like, just, like, wanted to be with her twin. But the one who didn't want it did way better because she didn't care, which really showed the lie of, like, you've got to really want it to win this thing. It's like, actually, sometimes it's better not to want it. Because they were identical twins again. Like, they had the same face.
No,
so.
But it's about the energy. I can totally see. I haven't watched that much America's Next Top Model, but I can easily picture Tyra being like, I can tell that you, like, you have the energy of someone who doesn't want it, and that means you deserve it. Like,
right.
Well, anyway. As always, life lessons to be learned from wrestling. But, okay, well, I got the answer I was looking for. I only asked because I had the thought when I saw that they were going to wrestle this week. I was like, I just saw it. Should I be worried about them doing the same matches over and over again, which I know that people complain about with WWE and which we have complained about in certain cases. But then I obviously just had a blast and the match was insane as per usual. So I'm not actually worried at all. It was fine.
I will say when the match was like announced, I was like, again, but then I definitely did not
have that reaction in any way. I was like,
Leah was like, my Young Bucks, it's my Young Bucks.
My Young Bucks, they're coming.
My Young Bucks, here they come.
I'd watch them go 15 more times. I'd watch them every week until, you know, the end of time. I don't give a shit.
I think that you may be leading us down a little monkey's paw path, but...
Yeah, be careful what you say
be
here.
Be careful what you wished for. Well, why and don't then, you...
And then the wingmen fight Eddie and Pippa for the rest of our lives.
We get all our wishes. Wingmen.
Papa Tony listens, but only with half an ear. He's busy doing other stuff, too. So he's just kind of guesstimating what we want. Leah, because you're so excited... and I am too, but they're your young bucks. Can you tell us what they were wearing this week?
Oh my God.
I almost can't, but I'm going to. But
you
like,
can't?
No, I said I almost can't because I was so like, I was struck into this state of like bliss. I can't explain what was happening to me last
night.
No,
I agree.
When I was watching them dance, walk like an Egyptian onto the stage at one point. Wearing weird jean cutoffs.
Call them what they are. Call
they're,
them by
they're
their
jorts.
Names.
They're jorts. Of course they're jorts.
Even Excalibur said it.
Matt was wearing a pink headband or a headscarf. Nick was wearing cigarette
like a 1950s
Nick
housewife.
Also had a headscarf, but they were opposite.
It was, but it was black.
Like one was from under and one was from over or something.
Nick Moore had like a do-rag and Matt had more like a 1950s housewife while she's cleaning scarf.
Yeah, cleaning or like when she drives in a convertible and needs to tie her hair down.
Absolutely.
And he does have beautiful hair, so that makes maybe they came to the match in a convertible. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. When it was unreal. I was, and they were feeling themselves so much. They were so proud of what they had done.
Did they're you having such a good time.
Their studded belts.
The studded belts are important to mention.
They are important to mention.
That's
because I did think they went to the mall with Darby Allin. Darby Allin took them shopping and was like, "It's really important to have a belt with your jeans, with your jorts."
Yeah, you can't wear jorts without a belt. That would be crazy.
I love imagining Darby Allin just looking scandalized at the Young Bucks being like, "Well, we got our jorts. Time to leave." Like, you don't even have a belt.
Time to leave. You've got to accessorize. I mean, Nick was still wearing that Ankh necklace too. I mean, the attention to detail in their outfits is not lacking. They've really paid attention to all of it.
They have. And Anne, you said that they shaved their faces, but I actually have no memory of that.
That's insane to me. Like, I was watching it separately. I'm coming to you from a remote location in Washington State right now, jet lagged and with a full family house here. So I was watching it separate from everyone else, like late at night. And they shaved their whole faces. And I was kind of surprised the group chat didn't have more of a reaction.
Because I don't think that they did. I went back after you said that. I went back.
They don't have the mustaches.
That's true. Like, they don't have the mustaches anymore. But they have like the.
They have some stubble, but they're shaved. They don't have beards.
I would not call it shaved though. I think it is a beard. It's just like it's a growing in beard. I studied it. So I was like, they did not come in clean shaven, and it's a light beard. It's not the luxurious thing that we're used to, but
it's clean shaven compared. It's not. They had full beards and then they went to goatees and weird mustaches and now that's all gone. And sure, they had some stubble, but I would not call it a beard.
Well, this seems like a semantical issue, ladies. True. So they had done more stuff to their hair.
Yeah.
That on that we can agree.
Yeah. Allie Strake's a great compromise.
I try.
Allie's like, their faces were different than last week. And on that, we can all come together.
They were not the same as they have been. Yeah. And then it was a street fight. They're from the mean streets of... What
Rancho,
is little...
Rancho Cucamonga?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Always hilarious.
It was, I mean, pretty much everything that you've come to love and expect from this era of the Young Bucks, where they had their streamers. Mm-hmm. Brandon Cutler was out and about doing his, what are those? It's like coolant spray, cool air spray.
I guess, yeah.
Okay, coolant, good. I'm glad you guys don't seem more confident because I'm saying something different every week and every time I'm like, I wonder if my co-hosts wish that I would get this right, but they don't.
So they're like, good. Aerosol cans that spray you cooling off stuff. I don't know what the technical term is.
Yeah, I don't either.
And then they cheated. So Eddie and Penta won a couple times, but there was no ref in the ring. And Frankie Kazarian dive bombed the fight. I love that it's like, I often am not really catching it, like him in action. I just hear someone on commentary be like, it's Kaz, in this tone, like they're on a nature documentary and there's like a bird of prey swooping in to get a fish out of the, and then I'm like looking around like, oh, it's Kaz. Like I'm doing something else. I look over, Kaz is already gone. I don't know why he came and went so quickly.
But... he does come in like in his dark little hoodie, sometimes with a pulled up, and it is a very fast strike energy for sure. It's yeah, he's in and out. You can't catch Kaz.
And the other big Young Bucks news, does someone want to let us know what happened on BTE this week?
What happened this week?
I know you know this.
Oh, they got oh, they kicked the Dark Order off. That's what happened, right?
Yeah, that yes, Leah, that is what happened.
Okay.
You nailed it.
Okay, I didn't know we were doing a cognitive test today. I would have prepared differently.
It's literally in the schedule. I wrote it down. I just thought just someone else might want to say it. I, the fool.
Yeah, so the Young Bucks came into the lair very aggressive and very hyped up and started yelling all this stuff at the Dark Order, ending with the fact that they are not going to allow the Dark Order on BTE anymore. And I think they're going to Sammy's blog, which means I will never again know what happens to the Dark Order.
I think that we're all going to cave and watch Sammy's vlog, unfortunately, but I agree that I'm not happy about it.
Like Eddie Kingston, I feel there are too many vlogs.
There are a lot of vlogs flying around, and I'm already so busy watching Ethan Page's. That's kind of my top vlog, actually, because it's so relaxing. There's really nothing to... I'll bring up a little more of that later. But so the other thing that happened is that as the Bucks were leaving, having banned the Dark Order, they passed Hangman in the hall, and they all exchanged some looks. And
Hangman is doing some great look action this week. Mm-hmm. Some real subtle, beautiful eye work.
You'd think he was once a substitute theater teacher because he is giving us a master class. So let's get to the big news of the week, which is that Kenny and Hangman finally had a little face-to-face interaction, which I was trying to think, like, when was the last time that happened?
It's been a really long time. Like, I feel like it almost might have been, like, before we started watching, I feel like, because, like, a lot of that stuff in the ring happened before we were watching. We, like, caught up on it in some of those summary videos. Like, it might have been early on when we were watching, but I don't know.
Like, yeah, it's definitely been a long time since they interacted anywhere wrestling, like in the context of actual wrestling, but I wasn't sure if they had like run into each other in a spot or something, but I think maybe no.
I don't think so.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been very shut down, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which is so enticing. Like, I mean, it really made it feel like such a big deal.
Yeah, it felt huge. And there was a whole buildup. I don't know how much of it we really want to explain, but someone else can if they want to. But you don't have to.
It was Kenny and Don Callis were like getting interviewed, and then the Dark Order came out and interrupted them, which I always think it's really funny when there's like an interruption because they like play their entrance music as they like run out, and it's like a very funny, like, this is all spontaneous, like who knew they were going to interrupt this interview, but they've got to like play their theme music as they run out, which is good. But yeah, so then Evil Uno like talked up Hangman, and then...
We do have to stop and say, it is very funny, and some of our friends were saying this too, that Evil Uno is the spokesperson for the Dark Order. Like, when you see him doing spokespersoning, and you're like, oh, that guy? That's the one? That's, okay, cool. Good for you guys.
He does a good job, but it is very weird, for sure.
He has a real, like, and I say it so lovingly, he has a real mouth breather energy.
For sure. Evil Uno spent some time on Reddit.
Well, who among us hasn't? Just a day or two here or there.
That's right.
Yeah, but he was talking to, I don't remember. They were smack talking, I assume. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I watched this yesterday, so.
Yeah. That's all you really need to say, I think.
Like, there was the smack talking and then the trivia.
The trivia. What is the capital of Thailand?
Bangkok. Thank you, Kenny. That was Kenny. Really humorous.
Yeah. Classy as always. I did lose my mind at that.
It was pretty funny. Anyway, and then it was a classic little, like, Good Brothers, Dark Order brawl. Hangman came out to save his friends. He was beating up multiple Good Brothers. He was looking so good. So much fringe.
I loved watching him hit, like, take out both the Good Brothers at the same time. I was like, Hangman, why can't you save me from them every week?
I know. He looked so hunky when he was just clearing the ring. Like, he was just throwing people. But
taking care of business.
Yeah. One of the Good Brothers he took out of the ring, he seemed to hit the ring, the side of the ring himself pretty hard. And I went, oh God, he's just recently healed that head. He seemed okay.
It is crazy sometimes when you see the injuries that wrestlers have and then they're just back the next week. And you're like, where is that? Like, I thought it looked pretty bad. Where, show me on your body, like, how it's healing.
Yeah, show me on your body.
Show me on your
Here's
body.
A doll. Show me where
it's actually hurt. Just a little tactic that I'm considering using in my flirtations backstage. Show me on your body where the wound is.
I think it'd go great.
I think it's sexy. It's going to be good. Yeah. but anyway, then Hangman and Kenny came face to face.
It was
came
so
close
charged.
To kissing pose, you know, oh the deal. God. They were saying some stuff. I
Kenny,
don't know what. Couldn't
Kenny
hear it.
Did this very funny little thing where he had his back to Hangman and he was like doing something. And then he turned around and did a little like jump like, oh, God, didn't expect to see you there. But surely he knew he was there. So Kenny, you're at Hangman
the whole time. You knew he was going to come out.
Yeah, but they're like locked eye contact because they basically just locked eyes for like a full minute, and while I like lost everything remaining of my mind, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I was interested in I can't read lips and you couldn't hear it, and they were saying stuff and I don't know what they were saying and I'm interested in it, but the real salient point is that they are, as we knew, clearly going to be the showstopper at All Out.
Yep.
And our personal showstopper for the day is that we got tickets to go to All Out.
Woo.
Yeah.
Oh,
baby.
My God.
Yeah. So that was psyched.
The most stressful morning of my entire life.
It was very stressful. I realized when we were like talking yesterday, we were just like going over like, okay, we're going to try and get tickets. We're going with some of our friends. We're all very excited. I realized that the last time I tried to buy tickets for something, I think it's been like 7 years or so. Like, it's been a long time. Where it's like I'm never going to shows where like you can't just easily get tickets and somebody else got them. So I was saying that I was like, Ticketmaster should have like a little simulation that you can do that teaches you how to use their site.
Kind of like an e-learning sort of situation.
Basically, I'm like, I need to do a module. You just like, I'm just waiting to go see a really popular made-up band. And I go to the site and you teach me everything that I have to do. But we got the tickets.
Yeah, so. We did. We
Pretty
did.
Amazing.
We and did. The pre-sale too, so we don't even have to do regular sale. I was like coaching myself this morning, and I was like, if we don't get tickets today, we still have tomorrow. You cannot sink into despair. It's just the pre-sale. Blah, 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 blah. I was like really getting into it with my like coaching, but no, we did it. We did it.
I can't believe we're actually going to see them in real life.
Yeah.
Like, they're real people that exist in the world.
I know. So what are the, not to get into it that deeply on the podcast, but so we're going to Rampage and we're going to All Out. And then sometime in the middle there, we think that there might be some like activities.
Yeah. I mean,
like sort of like a camp, a little wrestling camp.
Yeah, not sure.
The last pay-per-view, they had like a fan fest where they had like things going on. But I was saying to Sarah, I was like, I'd be into go because our friend Sarah is going to go with us. This is the first time you guys will meet Sarah. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be worlds.
Can't wait.
Crashing.
Can't wait.
But I was like, I am down for like a live critical botch or like any kind of like crowd thing. I will not be participating in anything and where a wrestler looks at me. As I am looking at him.
Absolutely not.
No, I don't want to meet them, but I'm happy to be nearby while they're meeting other people.
Yeah, I'd love to stare at them creepily from across a room, like behind a pillar, kind of like our three heads stacked up like cartoon characters, you know, like kind of peering around a wall, looking at them. I think that'd be much more normal than just buying a meet and greet.
Yeah, totally. Well, I know that you're making fun of me, but I am still saying, yes, that's what I will do.
No, I mean, that's 100% what I will do. I can't see a meet and greet going well for me. Like, how would I enjoy that interaction? I just die of mortification for both of us.
The last meet and greet I enjoyed, I was like 10 and I got to meet Brian Jacques and I loved that.
Oh, Brian Jack, the Redwall author?
The Redwall author,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, not to brag, guys, but I did do a meet and greet with him.
At age 10. Age 10 meet and greet with children's author is the only appropriate meet and greet, I think. Like, I do feel like children can meet and greet wrestlers, but I don't know. Yeah.
And in fact, it's very cute when they do.
Yeah, it is 100%. Really sweet.
But I'd love to see a little child in a denim jacket and sunglasses.
Right. They are not on a podcast every week saying despicable things. So they disgusting can meet the wrestlers.
We need to be cordoned off from the wrestlers. Like, this isn't a healthy energy for us to bring to their faces.
I want to be so clear. I mean, I agree it isn't and we wouldn't. But I want to be clear. I would never bring this energy to them.
Obviously, we are functional adults.
Please.
We would never behave like this to someone's face.
No, we would just be very normal.
Hi, Sting. Normal. I'm Allie. I'm your biggest fan, and I love your father lovering, and I think you do a great job.
Check out our podcast, Sting.
Leah, this is that's Goofus. That's what Goofus would do. I would just say something like...
And Gallant would say, "Hello, Mr. Sting. Here's a hearty handshake. I appreciate the work you do as a performer in a purely platonic
way. I respect and appreciate you, my good sir." And then I call Sting m'lady. Okay, well, moving on. I guess. After AEW overstimulated us with Hangman Kenny Omega,
I was legitimately overstimulated. Yeah, like I needed a commercial break, but I was watching.
You didn't get it
for the fact.
I don't think we even got a commercial break, or maybe we did, but it went right to JR doing therapy with Ethan Page and Darby Allin.
I legitimately, when they did that cut, I was like, oh, like, I'm getting overstimulated. I can't go straight from Kenny and Hangman staring at each other to Ethan Page and Darby Allin talking about their history and their feelings. Yeah. Like, give me, like, a inner circle, like, glass of cold water thrown in my face in between, you know?
But actually, I think I liked it, because I think they took me right to the edge of where it would have been unsafe, and then they hit me with some inner circle stuff, I think. So it was totally fine by me, but I agree, my core temperature was very high, unhealthily so, some might say. JR,
they should have told me to get in an ice bath like ahead of time. I think that would have been helpful, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm thinking of being in an ice bath and I really like it.
And again, this is the very normal energy we're going to bring to any meet and greet.
I would never climb into an ice bath in front of a wrestler.
Which, in fact, they probably do it all the time, so they would be the people that would be least alarmed.
That might be the most normal thing I could do, you're saying.
Just bring your own ice bath.
Hello, Mr. Sting. Do you know where I could find an ice bath? I'm your biggest fan. Oh, respectfully.
Respectfully. Yeah, finish every little, you know, paragraph monologue that you give him with a respectfully. Alexandra.
Well, anyway, JR was not a good therapist, but I liked that because I wouldn't have wanted to see anyone who was better at handling the situation handle the situation.
Right. Yeah. No, it needed to be unhinged, and it was.
And it was.
Someone else could have brought a hinge, but JR didn't and shouldn't have.
JR barely knew he was there. He was like, I don't know who these men are, actually.
Yeah, nor do I care.
They could be friends. They could not be. They were like, we are not, JR.
Yeah, and it was really good because JR was like, you guys have a history between you. And then we just got into their history where they like said very wound up things to each other.
Yeah, then the gist, and we have said before on this podcast, we've been like, we think they should give us a clearer picture of what the history is so we really mm-hmm. understand the beef. And it was like they listened. They were like, okay, we'll lay the whole thing out there for you. Ethan Page said that he plucked Darby out of obscurity and yeah, is responsible
in a tone, and basically was like,
I'm responsible for all your success, and it's repugnant that you became more successful than me. And then Darby Allin was like, it's repugnant that you got married and had kids.
Yeah, it's not my fault that you got married and had kids and never left your hometown. It was very like, oh my God, like, are you guys ex-boyfriends? Like, you can tell me.
The eyes went really, you can tell me, JR.
Yeah, tell JR.
Y'all used to date or something? What's up?
The fact that like Darby Allin's big beef with Ethan is that he chose conformity by like choosing heteronormativity. Like I couldn't handle it. I like started pacing.
It was crazy.
Very evocative little emotional scenario. A little box.
Yeah.
What?
And it really like, and they did a really good job like interacting with each other in a way that like summoned up all that history. Like it really felt like people like coming back for a high school reunion and having like a very charged little interaction. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was kind of interesting, like, because not to jump ahead, and I haven't had time to read the whole schedule, so I don't even know if we were going to cover this, but Matt Hardy and Christian Cage also had a little like have a history.
I left it off the schedule.
Okay, so, yeah, because it's not important because it sucked. But actually, like, the other week, for some reason, I was on Christian's Wikipedia page, and I was like, oh, he and Matt Hardy are in this, like, a lot. Like, they had, like, this really long-running feud and stuff. I was like, oh, it's kind of interesting that they have a history. Like, maybe that they'll get into that, and that'll be interesting. But they got into it, and it was not interesting. It did not emotionally charge me. It didn't feel like anything.
Yeah. I feel nothing about Christian Cage and Matt Hardy. It's true. But yeah. I felt a lot about, again, in case that wasn't coming through, I guess, in case you hadn't gotten it, I did feel quite a bit about Ethan Page and Darby Allin. And I think they are going to do purportedly their coffin match at Fighter Fest. I tried to say Fire Fest, which would be different.
Which would be very different.
But I think I could go to an island with the wrestlers and it would be fine. Yeah. I'd be really normal.
I'd love to see all these wrestlers on an island in sort of a catastrophe music festival situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess we can.
Yeah, I don't even know how much there is to say, but it was like, and it was interesting too that Darby was like, you're just mad that I got more famous than you. And Ethan was like, yeah, I am mad because you owe everything to me. And it was just like, whoo.
I know. I was like, that is some real, I mean, that's some, it's a good, I think it's a good heel like trait for Ethan Page to be like, yeah, I will own the actual thing that I'm mad about, which is a shitty thing to be mad about, but I don't care.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. It's, yeah. Totally.
It works.
You can get some more emotional honesty that way when someone's being a heel and just being like, totally. Yeah, I suck. I am mad about that.
Yeah. Also, I did note Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page went shoe shopping on Ethan Page's vlog this week. They went.
Oh, I haven't caught up on it yet.
They went sneaker shopping because adorable. Scorpio Sky is a sneakerhead who says that he has spread the culture of sneakerheadness at AEW, and then he repeatedly is like, "The Bucks also like sneakers, but I'm the one who spread the culture."
Yeah, the Bucks really have very little to do with the culture at AEW, I'm sure. So,
well, I kind of believed him because I have to say it was such a joy to watch Scorpio Sky teach Ethan Page about sneakers. He just looked, I mean, I just kept thinking, and you know, I see him wrestle a lot. I was like, this man is so handsome and so nice. And it's just as great that they are both so nice when you watch the behind the scenes, and then they are mean when you see them on the camera. It's interesting, makes you think.
Yeah, but they're still nice to each other, which is, you know, a fun little dynamic.
Again, interesting. Yeah, it's there's a lot of honesty in the dynamics there. Okay, anyway, then the cold water was quite a few inner circle pinnacle spots that I seem to have, according to the notes, not watched most of.
I had honestly really not a bad choice
no
because
memories
like,
of them.
You already know what's happening. Like, you've heard them say these things 3,000 times already.
Yeah. I do wish I had watched enough to be able to confidently say who was in the various. I only know that MJF and Chris Jericho did have a little exchange that we can talk about, but I have written here from someone else that Shawn Spears and Sammy did a promo.
Yeah, they did.
Cool. Didn't see
boring.
It.
Boring. Yeah.
Awesome. And then that
there was chairs hitting again.
Oh, right. I remember someone saying something about it, but I wasn't watching. And then Wardlow, FTR, Proud and Powerful, and question mark. Am I anywhere? Is that anything? They had a match?
All of that is right, but I'm definitely having trouble with the question mark. Conan was there. I remember seeing him.
Yeah.
He didn't wrestle, but
match?
I just saw him. No, I just saw him.
But he hit them afterwards with a sock or something full of something.
Soap.
Yeah, sure.
Someone just said that. So, you know what, guys? We can't get into it. Who knows? You tell us who was in the match, and you tell us if you gave a shit. So,
I just looked it up. It was Jake Hager.
Okay, I don't think any.
Well, we should have known because Wardlow was there.
Yeah.
That's his.
Right. Oh, and now I'm actually remembering that the only good moment of that whole thing was Jake Hager was in the center of the ring and he pointed at Wardlow and made like this very intense little gesture, and Wardlow went running at him, and I was I was really into it. Oh yeah, I probably should describe it since
this is
an audio medium.
It's cool. I'm here to describe the gestures you're making at me.
Would you like that to be your official role?
The gesture describer.
I'd love it. Yeah. Perfect. Put me in the credits. Yeah.
I'll bring that up at the end of the show.
Great.
Great. Well, I don't care about any of that.
No.
No, nor should you.
MJF and Chris Jericho brought a boardroom table out to the ring, which I liked that. Chris Jericho, I think, really likes doing that. I feel like he's done it a couple times.
He likes a little skit energy, kind of. Like, he'd love it if it's like, it's a debate, you know, with podiums and stuff, or like a boardroom table. He likes props, yeah.
Actually, yeah, they can have a best prop work award, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they should. Yeah, best prop work. Good job, Chris Jericho.
Nailed it.
You love it.
Put that one up on your wall. With Jungle Boy's little Jungle Boy had that trophy that it was like, oh, just so ugly little modern office trophy. I'm like, this is why people say it's not a sport, guys.
They basically gave him a Dundee. Yeah. Yeah, I did think that MJF and Chris Jericho's little promo was like the only one of these inner circle pinnacle spots where I was like, oh, this is kind of enjoyable. Like, these guys are good at promos for like the first half of it, and then it just like kept going and I was like, ugh.
I didn't even mind, honestly. Like, it did run kind of long, but I thought most of it was pretty good and interesting. And they were both saying absolutely zany stuff. which the commentators also seemed to be like, wow, there's a lot going on down there. It was all fine right up until the end when MJF, like, got into, like, one of his, like, two-year-old tantrum screamy things. And I was like, I really wanted to sit him down and be like, MJF, I love you. I think you're so talented. I think you're so good at being a mean bad boy and saying mean bad things. But you don't always have to scream at the end, because sometimes it undermines the rest of it. Like, that's you just true. Get so shouty.
Yeah. You got to modulate. Yeah.
Gotta modulate. Sometimes you can just leave it on a low note.
Yeah. MJF, if you're listening.
I'm sure he is. Come on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're piping this into the dressing room.
Oh my god, that's a horrible thing to say. It's a vivid little image that horrified
me. They listen
while
they're in their ice baths.
Sure. Yeah.
MJF did keep saying that he was gonna give Chris the rub. It was not a terminology I've heard before in wrestling. Very interesting
for his jerk off friend MJF. yeah.
Well, they love saying stuff.
They love to say things. It's true.
Do you want to move on to something else that I also can't explain and I'm hoping someone else can?
Oh no. Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
I mean, we should move on to this quiz show.
We should move on, yeah.
So we did find out that one of the Good Brothers is challenging Mox for his NJPW belt. Don't know the name of it, but it is from New Japan. Is that correct?
Yeah, I want to say it's just called the New Japan American belt, but, you know, I'm sure someone will yell at me.
Okay, I can't wait for us to get yelled at about that.
We love to hear corrections.
Yeah, and that match is going to be on Dynamite, so the forbidden door swings ever open onwards. opener and opener.
It just keeps opening and opening.
like a revolving door.
Forbidden door. It keeps the cold air outside and the warm air inside, you know.
Okay, well, did I miss anything that's gonna happen?
That sums it up.
That's all we got.
I mean, I was excited to hear that Mox was coming back, but kind of bummed that it's gonna be in the company of a Good Brother.
Yeah, I think that was a real monkey's paw situation. Also,
the shorter Good Brother, I hope it's that one. Because,
it is. I think it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome. Well, now I have a slight soft spot for that Good Brother just because he was funny that one time on BTE.
Because of his sour boy character on BTE. Yeah.
Because of his sour candy perv talk. I'm like, that one's fine. He can wrestle. More importantly, let's move back into our zone.
The things we know about.
The things we know
hair
about.
Hair talk.
Mox did shave his whole head, so now he just has a beard and a bald head. Thoughts?
I don't mind the bald head, but I don't like when bald men have big beards, and I wish he had a tighter beard. He had kind of a long beard. I don't like it. It's very Viking. It makes me angry.
I kind of like the long beard on the bald guy. I like when they want to have more hair on their chin.
All right. Okay, well, I'm hearing compelling arguments from both of my co-hosts.
I'm fairly jet lagged right now. I got to bed quite late, so
I have no explanations.
I think that he looks, just from the brief little clip we saw, I think he looks like a Russian strongman, like a circus man. So I would say I don't love the beard. But
I'm sort of ready to be convinced. I feel like I'm gonna like it, but right now I feel sad about the change because I liked his thinning hair.
Yeah, I liked his thinning hair. I just, even though it looked bad, it looked good to me. I don't really want him to be bald, and I don't feel that ready to be convinced about it. But I know that that strange bedfellows in the ring and you can get used to anything in the ring. I'm sure that I'll become accustomed to it.
You know, the people tune into this show to hear our, you know, absolutely sharp analysis.
I really never managed to correctly say a single aphorism on this program, but that's okay. At the other end of the hair spectrum, did anybody watch the Scorpio Sky match on Elevation?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, sure did. And the hair of Marcus Cross, can we discuss?
It vaguely reminded describe me of, like, me. Beavis and Butthead.
It did. Oh. Okay, yeah, Leah, you describe it. Go down that road some more for Anne.
It was bouffant-y. It had a lot of volume.
Yeah, it was blonde. It was Beavis and Butthead slash, like, Johnny
was
Bravo.
Was it, like, huge?
Yeah.
Huge hair.
Okay, so is it like a straight up kind of like Beavis and Butthead? Like,
it was like someone said, I'm gonna do a cartoon hairdo that will require a lot of hairspray. So it did go up.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. And you couldn't really make out the individual strands. It was very helmeted. It was
slapped. Was it sort of a like Bride of Frankenstein esque?
I can't access that reference with my mind, but the picture, I mean.
It's like a straight up sort of like solid.
No.
You really have to go back into the cartoon realm. Just a cartoon comes to life and that's the hair.
Much softer.
Johnny Bravo on a man's head.
Big and round.
Soft, big, round. Just give me qualities. Soft, big, round. Well, I got it, I think.
Are you there?
Do you I'm have the there. Picture I yet? Can picture it so vividly.
Paul was White said, maybe
was it like
I'm
an afro round or just like
thin?
Now I feel like you're goofing on us. Like, no, well, it's not like an afro.
You're getting far. She told me soft, big, round. If you're saying round, I'm looking at your gestures that you're making for a
imagine
audio.
It goes like up like that, and then
okay. Well, your hands are way out of the frame at this.
It's
point.
Like okay. Okay, I've
imagine
got another one.
Where they are meeting, you can think with your mind.
I've got another one.
For everyone, as the gesture describer, I'll tell you, she's pointing her hands up in sort of a
she
triangle.
She can see
overhead.
My entire arm. She knows where my arm ends. You know that I don't have Slenderman arms. You know where they end.
Well, now I'm starting to doubt it.
Round like a loaf of bread is round on the top, but not oh, like okay. An afro. Like
okay, sure. Yeah. Thank you. That's much more helpful as a description.
I was really proud of it when I thought about it. I was like, he's got a loaf of bread on his head.
Loaf. Interesting. So that's the shape.
Marcus Breadhead Cross.
But the thing is that, like, so like the whole match, you just desperately wanted Scorpio Sky to touch the hair. And when he finally did, he sunk his hands into it. And it turned out it kind of like was a meringue where it kind of like collapsed the minute you touched it.
Oh no.
Well, you would need,
a meringue breadhead.
Because there was so much air in there.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. I'm really concerned about how they created this hair. I mean, I'm going to have to Google this.
Oh yeah, we're definitely going to. I mean, I should probably like link it when I tweet about the show because yeah. I don't know that we've done a great job to the illustrating.
I think we made it pretty clear.
Actually, your wordsmiths, yeah. Really.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything to say about it. I just think he probably did deserve a hair award because he wanted it so badly. But
sometimes if you want things badly, you just get them.
You always get them. But it did also make me think, like, just about gimmicks in general. And I was like, I don't know what this guy's, like, gimmick is aside from big, weird hair. But... It's interesting that it's like you want people to remember you. So you mm-hmm. It's like you want to do something like goofy and memorable, but you don't want it to be, I think, maybe as goofy as this was, where I was like, yeah. Oh, Marcus, I don't take you seriously at all.
Yeah.
As an athlete.
Yeah.
As an athlete. I do feel like it's hard to hit that sweet spot of a gimmick where it's like memorable and distinct, but like, still cool, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting because on Dark, you just see a lot of it by the nature of like people trying things out. And when it fails, it's really embarrassing. Like, I almost can't look at the screen, you know?
Yeah.
Like the guy who like pretends to be a Boy Scout, or that one guy who wears the fake tongue that like comes out, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
There's a girl that tries to, like, she brings like a Mean Girls burn book around. And I'm just always like, I don't care for these things.
This is not to my taste.
Yes,
my brother used to say. Well, let's move on from the hair. I mean, what more can we say
that we haven't already loudly passionately already and said?
I think we've said enough. OC and Chris fought Blade and the Bunny on Dynamite this week, and this was the match that we had been like, will it go intergender or not? They said it was going to be the first something. And they did. I'm interested in you guys. Both were pretty down on it. Actually, a lot of people were. They did clearly dip the toe in. They were like, men are going to do moves with women. And they clearly, their setup was that they wanted it to be like, we're saying we won't go there, but then we did go there. I didn't really mind it. I was like, yeah, I want to see a full intergender match. But it seemed like a fairly clear indication to me that it's like, that's where we're heading. And we're kind of taking the temperature to make sure no one, like, reams us for it.
I did love it whenever they did, like, when Chris, like, leaped onto the Blade. And it was, like, a really cool move. And it was, like, a girl wrestling a boy. I was, like, I got very excited because, like, that's what I wanted from the match. And by that point, I had kind of given up on it. So, like, those things were cool. It just feels very artificial to me when they're doing a tag match, but they're not wrestling each other, especially when like Chris is very strong and Orange Cassidy is very small. So it just seems silly. Like, of course they can compete the same. I don't mm-hmm. know.
I agree that it's silly. I just felt like that was what the match was saying, was like that, like a lot of it seemed to be choreographed to be like, wow, it would be better if I did this.
Yeah.
And then they eventually
Do you think the wrestlers themselves like were working against Tony Khan's intergender rules?
Not really. Did you?
No, like that's what I'm curious. Like you're saying that, like it seemed like the match itself was like commentating that it's silly. Like, do you feel like that was the wrestlers like working like against what they're like? You know what I mean? Like where like Tony was like, we're doing a mixed tag, but not intergender, and then they're like, well, but we're gonna like sneak some stuff in here to like point out that like we should be doing intergender.
No, my impression, and I'm an idiot, I mean, I could be wrong. My impression was that they got the go-ahead to be like, we're kind of moving, we maybe will be moving in intergender. We're opening the forbidden door of intergender. And
so you thought
that
like,
that was
AEW
how they choreographed. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I again, could be wrong, but I really felt like, especially because the commentary said, like, JR at the beginning was like, but we know they won't go, it's not intergender. And I immediately mm-hmm. was like, as is always in wrestling, when you tell me it's not going to happen, I know that it will. So I just thought that was what they had decided the setup of the match was going to be like, but we know it's not going to go there, but then eventually it does go there. Like, and I didn't mind that it wasn't like a full, I mean, I wanted it to be, I want to be clear, like I want them to just do full on intergender, but I was like, okay, well, I get what I think you decided to do. And it's like, prove me wrong. Maybe they'll never do it again. And I'm the fool.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be into it if that's what they are doing. And if they were testing it to see if people were like, this was perverted or whatever. I don't know what they think people
I don't really
say.
Know what the objections are. I guess that it's like someone recently, I saw someone being like, some people are like, I don't want to see a man hit a woman on TV because it's triggering. And I was like, I think that is offensive, kind of. But
it's like, kind of, but like all of wrestling is so, like the moves aren't like the way you would actually have a fight, you know?
Yeah. Right. They're all hitting each other, and you shouldn't really hit people.
Right, yeah. Men shouldn't be assaulting each other either.
Like, it's not cool just because men are doing it to each other.
Right. The move where Chris hit the bleed is, first of all, it's a move that she calls the Area 451, which cracks me up every time.
Nice.
But also, there was a thing last year where she was like, she gave an interview where she was like, Kenny Omega won't let me do that in the ring because I don't always hit it right. So then when she did, I like lost my shit. I was like, that's the move that she doesn't. It was like that thing in Dirty Dancing where like they don't always do the lift and then they did it when it counted. I was very proud of her.
Wow. I didn't know that Kenny Omega got such a say.
Yeah. Apparently he's like big.
So the
like,
EVPs do have power.
In the women's. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, right. I did know that. I didn't. Yeah. We're just reaching way back in the bucket.
The bucket. That's what you're calling the bucket. Brain.
I guess apparently I am. I agree that it's dark. But yeah, I think that, you know, do it all the way next time. Do it all the way next time. You got a pass from me. You rolled out a little thing where when Chris finally did her, I don't think it's a moonsault, whatever. Is it the 451?
Yeah.
When she did the 451, I was like, oh, hell yeah. You actually did it.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah.
But next time, do it the whole way. Because I agree that the mixed match tags, which they know it's like not really anything. It is just two singles matches that happen to be going on at the same time. So I guess that's why I kind of was like, oh, well, I like that like this match feels like it's saying that and playing with it and being like, actually, it's not effective for us to just do two singles matches. We have to be able to help each other.
Right.
It's fully crazy though that they did say this was their first mixed tag match or whatever, because Shaq and Jade Cargill, well, they already did one. Like, we're dumb and we know that.
I know. But we remember memory when Shaq disappeared.
Right. We have a memory where like we don't remember things that happened 10 minutes ago, and when we call it out, you've got a problem.
Yeah, we're still concerned about Shaq being lost in Daly's place. So
if that never comes back, I'll raise holy hell 15 years from now.
We're ready for the payoff, AEW.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's quickly cruise through some of the people that we met or saw wrestle for the first time this week. And there were three of them, which was too many, but they did a good job. That's not about them. That's about me. That's about what I can hold in my bucket. Andrade wrestled for the first time versus Matt Sydal. Thoughts?
I liked it. I thought he had a bunch of very, very cool moves. He did a bunch of like twisty little things that I liked a lot. And I thought he was interesting. And he came out and he was wearing a very cool mask. A lot of times I think masks look very goofy and I think most people look stupid in them. But I liked
it's
his mask.
Really easy to be in Party City territory with a yeah. mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, but I think he looked good too. He is a real hunk. Great hair. Yeah.
just the important stuff.
Yeah, hunk, touch on yes. the brand
hair,
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked him. I'm interested to see more.
Yeah. I feel like he's been doing a good job bringing his personality. You know, I feel like I have a sense of him, which is pretty good. For
yeah. Yeah, I think I have a sense of like some, like not an intense sense.
Well, no.
But I mean, I've got a little, you're right, we're getting some little nuggets.
I have like a, you know, Sting second or third episode sense of him, which I feel like is a good level, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Sting?
Mr. Sting, Mr. respectfully.
Respectfully. I will say that if Vicky continues being his manager, I do hope that means that like he and Nyla get to be buddies, because
yeah,
I do really enjoy when the women's wrestling group gets to take place in the same universe as the men's.
Yeah. We're tireless advocates of boys and girls factioning together, yeah, wrestling together,
integrate,
gender integration,
yeah,
co-ed.
Integrate.
Yeah. Integrate.
It's a co-ed institution, actually, and we're doing our best.
It is like when, oh no, I don't know, any of the women's colleges. So we're, never mind. You know what, guys? We just don't really have to go there.
We can't get into it.
I can't get into it. Yeah, we'll bring this one back next time, maybe. Then Malachi Black, who was Aleister Black on WWE, we had a little like double lights out bluff in the show, and the second time he showed up.
I actually did think that was pretty funny and effective when the lights blinked, and I thought someone was coming in and they were just like, oh, there's kind of been a storm here, like having some difficulties. And I was like, I don't think that's right, but like maybe. And they kind of did fake me out. So good for them.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I did immediately think, oh, someone's going to have to show up in the dark later. But like it worked really well to do that.
Yeah.
You know, get me pumped.
Do some little theatrics for me, you know?
Please. I'm a theater girl. I'm a theater girl. You're a theater
We're
boy.
All theater people
Can
here.
Can I make it any more obvious?
With an audience, I should have said this earlier, but it really reminded me of, like, as a child, I went to, like, a children's theater show that was in the round, and they, like, involved the audience a lot. And, like, when the live crowd was, like, doing their little chants and stuff, it really, like, you know, we're all a part of this experience together.
Yeah.
We're all part of the show.
Yeah. I mean, some of us ran onto the ring in the middle of Chris Jericho and MJF's spot, so.
Oh, yeah. Did someone go over the
yes.
barrier?
Yeah. Someone got onto the ring, and then Jericho beat the shit out of him and threw him back, and then apparently security violently escorted him out.
Wow. I completely missed that. I miss everything. Oh, guys.
Too much of the show.
Barely here.
I only pay attention because Sarah's like, are you watching? This is happening.
I need someone to do that for me.
Oh, it's really good.
Great. And then very, 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 I'll just mention it, that this UFC guy, his name is Dan Lambert. He came out, he did a like AEW sucks thing. And some people that I follow on Twitter were like, that was great, and I love him. Apparently he's been on Impact and MLW, and he runs an MMA academy, and it seems like potentially he will be like someone's heel manager or something, which is fine. No complaints and no super excitement yet. Fine.
Yeah, he was fine. I like that like that AEW has these good relationships with like other promotions and other people and stuff, like that they're, you know, bringing people out, like local Miami guy, like good for them, you know. But yeah,
yeah. I guess I don't know. I didn't care for it. I didn't know where he was, and I thought it was terrible. And then when they were like, I think I saw from you that people think he's going to be another heel manager, and I was like, if I get one more fucking heel manager that just yells at me all the time, I'm like, I don't need this anymore.
I went and watched another promo from a few years back that someone had linked to that he did, and I did like it. Like, I was like, I actually do like the shtick, and yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I'm like, you know.
Okay, well, why don't you just go marry him then?
yeah. Of course, I'm saying I'm going to marry him, but you don't have to bring it up so early. I haven't even gotten to tell him that I want to do it respectfully yet. I don't know. I'm just like, whatever. You can do whatever. I don't care. He can be Malachi Black's manager. I don't give a shit. okay. And then, we can't waste our time on the Codyverse. So let's hit last thing, the Sonny and Joey show.
Yikes.
What is going on with this Sonny and Joey plotline?
I don't know. And I was prepared to let them take me on a little journey, but the fact that the journey already just got wrapped up on Brits. I mean, I assume there are going to still be more things, but
there
like it needed
to be some other stuff.
It needed another beat. It needed, like, I was like, oh, okay.
It's been very weird. It was very weird for them to get back together on Brit's show and just be like, but you've only been broken up for like a minute. Like, what was the point of all this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a waste of my time.
And did you guys see the promo that Joey did on Elevation?
I think so. Yeah, because I watched it, but it's not coming to mind.
You saw it, but did you see it? He just did a promo on Elevation where they were like, what can we expect on the waiting room tomorrow? And everyone was chanting, we want Sonny. And then he was looking like kind of like rageful, confused, drugged the way he usually does. And then he said the same thing that he said the next day on Brit Show. I'm just frustrated, which I'm like, Joey Janela, that cannot be a catchphrase that you're trying to use now. It's not appropriate.
No, I mean, it would be fine if he wanted to make it his catchphrase and like brought it up every once in a while in between other explanations. But like, that's like,
it wouldn't
it's like
be fine. For his catchphrase to be, I am frustrated? You think that would be fine?
Yeah, I would be like, listen, I feel about Joey saying that the way you feel about the angry UFC man. I don't give a shit. You go ahead. You say whatever you want. But tell me a story in between using the word frustrated.
What story uses the phrase, I am frustrated?
That's why I'm not the wrestler. Tell me the story. I am not writing the story. You tell me the story.
Well, I think we all agree that we don't really understand. Like, the issue is that, like, there's something going on with Joey Janela that we're getting no clues about aside from that he keeps going to mommy milker bars, which is not a phrase I expected to hear so much on TNT.
They've really committed to TNT there's no kink shaming on AEW Dark. And yeah. Good for them, I guess. But
I love that that's their brand, but... I mean, we're missing some piece of the narrative, and so it's like I think we all feel like, well, this is clearly going to fall apart again, but who can say why?
Right.
You know, I just don't know what's going on. Very lost.
Yeah. And I'm very up for being taken on a journey with Sonny and Joey. Like, I'd love for there to be like, you know, a whole thing, like why they're breaking up, why they're getting back together. Why they'll break up again. But
why do we want them to be broken up or be together?
Right. Like, just tell me something other than strip club stuff. I don't know.
Not that, I mean, it's like, you can tell me the strip club stuff, I guess.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that could definitely play a role in it, but like, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Yeah. Maybe if therapist JR comes and,
yeah, JR,
and gets
get
in
there.
Because I have to say, Britt was not doing much by way of therapy.
No,
but not worse than JR, but not better.
Well, an indictment in and of itself.
Well, she doesn't have to be good at therapy because she's perfect.
She is perfect. She is. She did a promo last night where she was like, we're going to be in Dallas, and they called Dallas the Big D, only now they're going to call it the Big DMD. And like, I just like so much of that like promo, I was just cackling. I don't know. Yeah. She's perfect.
She's the one.
She's absolutely perfect.
Any other final thoughts from the week?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we spent a little bit of time complaining, but this was a very good episode. I enjoyed
it. It was
myself.
A great
episode.
Yeah,
that's true, actually. I had a good time. I feel like there were real high highs and real low lows for me. Like, I had like the best time of my life, and then I had some, you know, Cody time.
I guess I've deleted the low lows because I was doing something else. I think I was thinking about getting All Out tickets during the low lows, so they didn't really register. I was like, that's finally some free time for me to focus on something I'm worried about.
I think that's the right way to watch wrestling, so, you know.
Definitely is. Tune in, tune out when you wanna.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's leave it there then. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. You can smash the button or do anything else you want with it. And come back next week.
It's not our business what you do with the buttons.
What you do with the button is your business. That's our motto, I guess. The end.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.